Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, come on, man. I deserve a little more now. Come on.
Happy Easter.
Yeah, I had somebody ask me one time, why do people dress up for Easter? You know, why do you get so dressed up for Easter? And I just really think it's like this just symbol of taking off the old, right, and burying it and getting rid of that and putting on the new. Just another example of what God is doing in our lives and what He does in our lives when we step into a personal relationship with Him. Well, I'm excited to share with you on this Resurrection Sunday, and we're going to look at... We've been in a series called Jesus Encounters, and we're just encountering Jesus, you know, through the cross and through Mary and through Nicodemus. Well, today I want us to encounter Him and to through the resurrection, the resurrected Jesus. And I'm going to start with one of my new favorite stories about Easter, and so here it goes. All right, a Sunday school teacher was, you know, asked her 5-year-olds, "Who can tell me what Easter is?" And one boy answered, "Easter is when the family eats turkey and talks about pilgrims." And she says, no, that's not it. Another boy answered, I don't know why they make the boys answer this way. Another boy answered, "Easter is when you decorate the tree and get presents." And the teacher said, no, that's not it either. Finally, a little girl saved the day, and she answered, "Easter is when Jesus was killed and buried in a cave and with a big rock in front of it." And the teacher said, yes, and she smiled, "That's right. And then what happened? And then what happened?" And the little girl said, "Well, every year they move the rock so Jesus can come out. And if he sees his shadow, there'll be 6 more weeks of winter." Surprise. Well, I love your laughter, and listen, if it doesn't seem appropriate to you to laugh on Easter, then maybe you have never discovered our God and His sense of humor. Throughout Scripture, God seems to enjoy happy, unexpected twist. He makes 90-year-old Sarah pregnant, right? And Abraham ends up shopping for both Depends and Pampers at the same time. Surprise. He defeats a 9-foot-tall warrior with a kid and a rock. Surprise. He uses a talking donkey to correct one of his prophets. I mean, it was God's joke way before it was Shrek's, right? Surprise. He takes a handful of not that bright fishermen and turns the world upside down forever. Surprise. Over and over, it's as if God gets a funny idea, right? And He gathers His angels around with a huge smile, and He says, watch this one. I mean, I really believe my God has the best sense of humor in all the universe. And then on that dark Friday 2,000 years ago, the devil surely thought he had won. Jesus hanging there and humiliation and beaten and spit upon and mocked. And Christ was dead. And God's salvation plan seemed defeated. But then came the unexpected twist. On that first Easter morning, the ground shook and the stone rolled away. And Jesus strode out of the tomb triumphant. And I doubt the devil ever saw that coming. Surprise! Death is dead, and Jesus lives. Amen. He is risen. He has risen indeed. So, yeah. So let's say that together, all right? Let's say that together. He has risen. He has risen indeed. And most people around the world this weekend, really, they understand that, right? They get that. And Christians will celebrate this resurrection of Jesus Christ all over the world. But I think what we forget sometimes, or maybe that we don't even know, is that that same power that raised Jesus from the dead is available to you to bring new life and new change and a fresh start in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:15, I love it in the Message paraphrase, it says this, He, talking about Jesus, included everyone in his death, so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a life better than people had ever could ever live on their own. And I want to talk to you about that resurrection life this morning. You know, there's one thing I really love about my job. It's when I get to see people's lives changed. When I get to see their life completely turned around by the power of God. When dead things come alive and are resurrected. Especially those that seem to have no chance of a comeback. Marriages so messed up, life so messed up, you know, someone on a pathway to suicide or involved in immorality, and you think there is no hope, but then there's this huge comeback fueled by the power and the presence of God. It's the same reason I love sports so much, I think. I love the comeback, the last second shot. That's why I love March Madness. The walk-off home run, the winning touchdown drive. And you know, they have this saying in sports, it ain't over till it's over, right? And really what they're trying to say is, don't give up on them. It ain't over till it's over. But there is a time when it's over, right? When the clock strikes zero. And the ultimate it's over has to be death. When you take that last breath, and many of us, probably all of us, experience that with loved ones in our lives, right? And sometimes you just wish you had one more conversation, right? One more hug, one more piece of advice. But death is that ultimate, it's over. There's a finality to it all. Reminds me of my buddy Boudreaux. One of his friends passed away, and Boudreaux, he didn't want to go to the funeral. He didn't like funeral. He said, I'm not going by myself. And so he invited his buddies, Thibodeau and Guidry, to come with him. He said, y'all got to come with me. I'm not going. No, man, no way. And so they go to the funeral, and they're sitting there through the funeral, and then it comes to that time where they're supposed to walk down and pay their last respects. And Boudreaux said, I'm not going down there, no way. You guys got to come with me, right? And so here they go. You know, Thibodeau and Guidry walk down there with him, and they stand there before the casket, before their friend there, and Boudreaux says, you know, what do you hope people say about you when they're standing here and you're in that casket? What do you hope they say about you? You know, Thibodeau said, well, you know, I hope they talk about how, I love my family and I was so good to my family. And Guidry said, well, I hope they talk about how generous I've been, you know, with everybody. They said, what about you, Boudreaux? What would you want them to say about you, Boudreaux? And Boudreaux thought a few seconds. He looked down at the person. He looked back up. He looked back down. He looked at his friends. And he said, I'd want them to say, he's moving! He's moving! So I got... Right? We don't want to let go, right? We don't want it to be over. We don't want it to be over. But what's cool about our Jesus is he conquered the ultimate, it's over. He conquered death. And that's why we celebrate Easter. Revelations 1:18 says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. I love it. How Jesus says something so powerful with this. He says, hey, listen, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. And that's so good for Jesus. Jesus says, I'm just going to amen myself. Right? Amen. And I thought about that. Every once in a while, right, I do say something, you know, pretty good from here, right? I you know, and y'all sit there and you kind of go, give me that look right there. And so here's what I decided from this point on. When I think I say something pretty good from up here, I'm just going to start amening myself. I mean, if Jesus can amen, I'm going to go, amen, Monty. That was good, brother. That was good. Amen. Amen. So if you'll let me do that, that'll be awesome. Here's the deal. We know that this day is all about that, right? That we come and we celebrate that event that took place thousands of years ago. But listen, Easter is so much more than that. It's so much more. It's about realizing that we can be alive in Christ. And I get it. It's hard. It's hard to live this resurrection life. And it makes sense because the job description of Satan is to steal, kill, and destroy, right? I mean, he's trying not just to kill you physically, but he's trying to create death on the inside of you. And chances are, most of us, if not all of us, are experiencing some type of death in some area of our lives. And I begin to think, how do you know that something is dying? Well, I think there's several ways, but I think there's at least three symptoms. And the first one is this. You just feel exhausted. People feel exhausted, right? They're worn out. They say, I'm tired all the time. I can't keep up this pace. I'm just overloaded and overwhelmed. When I get home in the evening, I just crash. I'm worn out. I'm out of energy. I'm exhausted. I'm tired beyond rest. You ever been there? Maybe you're there now. Well, listen, if you're not careful, exhaustion always leads to the second thing, which I call emptiness. Just empty. You say, I don't think I've got another thing in me. I couldn't sign up for another thing. I couldn't take on another assignment or project or commitment. I'm kind of stretched to the limit. And I'm empty on the inside. Something is missing. There's a void. There's a lack of purpose. And I think in those quiet moments we're thinking, if this life is so good, how come I'm still so unsatisfied? Why don't I feel more meaning in my life? And by the way, what is the meaning of all this? Getting more and having more and accomplishing more? What really is the meaning behind that? I mean, if it's so good, why don't I feel more satisfied? And then our emptiness leads to what I call enslavement. People say, I feel trapped. I feel trapped by my debt. I don't know if I'm ever going to get out of it. I just feel trapped, money. I feel trapped in a relationship. I can't get on with it, but I can't get out of it. I feel trapped by the expectations of other people around me. I feel trapped by guilt, by fear. I feel trapped by my own anger. I feel trapped by my bitterness with somebody who's hurt me. I'm even a slave to my own schedule. And you know, sometimes we go through circumstances in life that we think, I can't get out of this one. It's over. There was this guy that went jogging at night one time, and as he was jogging, he decided to take a shortcut through the cemetery. He was going through that cemetery, and there was a freshly dug grave there in the cemetery that he didn't see because it was night and it was dark, and he fell right into it, and it was so deep, and the edges were so clean that there was nothing to grab a hold to, and he would try to jump up, and he just couldn't. And finally, after trying and screaming and yelling for about 30 minutes, he said, well, I guess I'm just trapped here. Right? I'll just have to wait till somebody comes in the morning and get me out of here. And so he kind of sat down in the corner and fell asleep, and about an hour later, another guy was running through the cemetery, and he fell in that same grave, right? And he starts trying to get up, and he's yelling, and he can't reach, and he's all of a sudden this guy kind of taps him on the shoulder and said, hey, bro, you trapped. You ain't getting out of here. How many of you know he did? He did in that moment. Do you ever feel like any of these? Emptiness? Exhaustion? Feeling trapped? Listen, God wants me to say to you today, it's not over. It's not over. Look at Revelation 1:18 again. Jesus says, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And then he says, I have the keys of Hades and of death. You see, God holds the key to your death experience. And he's the only one that can bring life back into you. You can't do it in your own strength. Only he holds the key to this resurrection power in your life. It's not over. And the reason I think God brought you here this morning is so you can learn about the resurrection life, this resurrection power, that there's something more you're about, you know, that is available to you, that you're about to come alive in every area of your life, in all of your relationships. So what is this resurrection life that Jesus Christ offers us? Well, let me give you very simply three things that I think this resurrection life brings to us. And the first one is this. The resurrection life is full of energy. It's a powerful life. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, but especially about Easter and the resurrection, is Romans 8:11. It says, the Spirit of God. And that word spirit means the power, the wind, the breath of God. And you know, like the wind, we don't always see it, but you can actually feel it and you know it's there and it does powerful things. He says, the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead, right? Not only did he raise Jesus, but he says he lives in you. This power, it lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. The same power, the same energy that it took to get Jesus out of the grave can happen in you. You can confront every death situation in you. And again, it's not just talking about physical death. I think he wants to take every death experience in your life and resurrect it. And all of us experience death, right? You know, I do a lot of funerals, and sometimes I think that the dead person is more alive than the people in the service. Right? Because I think a lot of people are experiencing different types of death. So how about you? Is there anything in your life that has died or is in the process of dying? Emotional death. Marital death, financial death, it's over kind of stuff. There's this death going on the inside. Well, John 10:10, Jesus says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But then Jesus says, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, to have this energy, this power. Do you ever get tired just thinking about all the stuff you have to do? I mean, have you noticed that when you are low on energy, little problems become big problems? Anybody ever notice that? Have you noticed that, you know, when you don't have a whole lot of patience, it's because your energy level is low, within the littlest tiny things just tick you off? I'll tell you what it is. You're running on your own energy, and your battery is about to go out. Listen, you were never meant to live on your own power. It's no wonder that we're tired all the time. God meant for you and me to be plugged in to his power. And not just to go through life living in your own energy and your own strength. I was showing the ones that got baptized this morning above my office door, and there I have Philippians 4:19 that says, I can do all things. Not in my own strength, but through his strength, through Christ's strength. We need to be plugged in to his power. When I was a little dude, my mom told me, Monty, don't ever stick a bobby pin in the light socket. Now, why would my mom say that? Because never in my entire life up to that point, you know, had I ever thought about sticking a bobby pin into an electric outlet, right? And from that point on, I put it on my bucket list, brother. I put it on there right after the fork in the toaster thing, right? So what I did one night, when my parents were in bed, I took a bobby pin. And I tried to jam it in the light socket, right, to see what would happen. But it wouldn't fit in there. You know why? Because it had all those little, plastic things on the top of it. And it would just catch. And so I'm pretty resourceful. I just gnawed them off. Like a dog with a bone. I got them off. And then I stuck it in the light socket. Nothing, right? Nothing. I mean, what's the big deal? What is this, Mom? And then I thought, oh, maybe you've got to stick it in both of the holes of the light socket. Right? So I'm, boom, right there. Surprise, right? There it was. That's what power does. Power shocks you. Power transforms you. Power changes you. And the resurrection life, you need to understand, is full of this energy that comes from Jesus. And so you may have come to Easter, this service this morning. Maybe you're a little tired. Maybe you're a little worn out. Maybe you're on the edge. And maybe you have felt like giving up. Maybe you're in a relationship and you feel like giving up on it. Maybe you're in a marriage and you tried hard to make your marriage work, but it's just not getting any better. And you feel like giving up on your marriage. Or maybe you feel like giving up on your job. Or maybe you feel like giving up on school. Or maybe you feel like giving up on your health because you're just not getting any better. Or you feel like giving up on your kid who's headed in the wrong direction. You know, maybe you're there. Maybe you just feel like giving up on your goals, your dreams, your ambitions. Can I just say to you, don't do it. Don't give up. It's not over. Instead, look up. Look up to God. Don't give up. Give in. Give in to Christ and say, Christ, I'm going to start living for you and not for me. And He'll give you a new power, a new energy to do the things that He put you on this earth to do. The second thing that this resurrection life brings is that it's filled with meaning. It's filled with meaning. It's a purposeful life. You've heard me say this many times, that the greatest tragedy in life is not death. It's to go through your entire life without knowing your purpose, without meaning. And unfortunately, most people go through life never knowing, you know, what the meaning of life is all about or what their purpose is, never knowing why God put them on the earth. Listen, it takes purpose to have your life have significance, to have fullness. And we search for meaning in all kind of different ways, like our achievements, right? If I could just accomplish enough, or if I could accomplish more. But listen, you can always find somebody who's done more than you. Or maybe in our acquisitions, right? But listen, you can always find somebody who has more money than you. Or maybe we try to find meaning in our appearance. That's not a good source of confidence. I've shared with you this, but just about the time my face cleared up from acne, my hair started falling out. I look really good, Kim said, for about 3 months. About 3 months. So listen, if you put your confidence in the way you look, you're not going to feel very confident very long. And we do that. We search for meaning through all kinds of things, through hobbies or sports or travel, through relationships, through success. Listen, these are all good things. They're all good things. There's nothing wrong with these things. The only problem is they just don't last. And when the experience is over, then where do you get your significance from in those down times? Listen, you and I need something that gives you constant significance, eternal purpose, meaning that will go beyond your daily struggles. And where do you get that? There's only one place: from the God who created you. Colossians 3 says, here's that resurrected life again. He says, you have been raised to life with Christ. Now set your heart on what is in heaven, where Christ rules at God's right side. think about what is up there, not about what is here on earth. You died, which means that your life is hidden with Christ, who sits beside God. And here it is. Christ gives meaning to your life. And when He appears, you will also appear with Him in glory. Listen, He made you for a purpose. And until you understand that you were made by God and for God, life's not going to make any sense to you. And until you understand the purpose He put you here on earth for, you know, to share His good news with others, to walk alongside people and point them to Jesus. But if you're not doing it, you can't step up from just a good life to this resurrection life that He's calling us to. I love what Peter says in 1 Peter. He says, because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life. And we have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And the future starts right now. You see, the resurrection life is not just an addition to your old life. It's not just something that you tack on. It's a whole new deal. It's brand new. God wants to give you a brand new life. Have you ever noticed how many packages say new and improved? You know what that means? Same old junk with a new title, right? There's very little new in this world. It's all just repackaged, repositioned, relabeled, retitled. There's very little that's actually new in the world. But God says, I want to give you a brand new life. I want to give you a chance to start over. I want to give you a chance to begin again. And that's the starting point of living this resurrection life. He wants to give us a brand new life. He says, you know, all those things that you've done in the past and you regret and wish you had done them differently, dumb decisions, bad mistakes, sins, faults, failures, whatever you want to call them. He says, let's just erase those and start over. We'll wipe them out, all that other stuff, and you can just begin again. I mean, what a deal. No more guilt. No more guilty conscience. Wiped out. Begin again. Start over. And when you start living for God, that's when you begin to discover real happiness, real significance, real purpose, real value, real meaning to your life. Because listen, you're not living for yourself. You're living for God. The beginning of the resurrection life begins when you stop living for you and you start living for God. That gives you meaning. That gives you significance. That gives you purpose. And finally, the resurrection life is freed by grace. It's freed by grace. It's a life of freedom. Galatians 5:1 says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourself be burned again by the yoke of slavery. 1 Timothy 2:6 says, He gave His life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. That freedom comes by grace. You see, the resurrection life is a life freed by grace. And so you say, well, Monty, what is grace? Well, grace is when God gives you what you need, not what you deserve. That's grace. Everything you have in your life is because of God's grace. You have nothing if God hadn't decided to make you. So grace is God saying, listen, I love you. I forgive you even though you can't earn it. Grace is God saying, I'm not mad at you. I'm not holding a grudge because, listen, Jesus Christ has taken your sin on the cross. Grace is God saying, I'm going to give you a do-over. And grace is that road to freedom. And so what has Jesus Christ set us free from? I mean, lots of stuff, right? First, He set you free from guilt. All the things that you feel guilty about, that maybe you carry shame about, He wipes them out. He sets you free from the fear of death. You know, I'm not afraid to die. Why? Because I know God personally and I have a relationship with Him and I know where I'm going. He sets you free from the hurts that other people cause you, the bitterness that you can't let go of, that you keep holding on to, that anger. He says, hey, I'll help you let it go. Find freedom. He sets you free from the expectations of other people. And I struggle with this because I'm a people pleaser, right? But He says, man, I'm going to set you free just to be yourself. He sets you free to grow and to develop and become all God meant for you to be. He sets you free from worry. He sets you free from anxiety. He sets you free from fear, from boredom, from meaninglessness, from no purpose. You see, Jesus Christ came to earth to say, I want you to have a relationship with me. And I've already done it all for you. You don't have to do it. You just have to accept what I've already done on the cross. That's called grace. Jesus Christ came to redeem you, to set you free from all things that keep you hung up, all things that entrap you, you know, your habits, your hurts, your hang-ups, all the things that mess up your life. He says, I want to set you free from it. And I want to give you a new life of real freedom, where you'll be free indeed. If I accept this, if I accept this resurrection life, well, then what do I do with the old life? The exhausted, empty, enslaved life. Well, look what God's Word says in Romans 8:13. He said, that old life, there's nothing in it for us. Nothing at all. The best thing to do is to give it a decent burial and get on with your new life. He's saying, bury it, dump it. You don't try to hold on to the old life that had all the worry in it and all the bitterness and all the guilt and no purpose. I mean, listen, why would you want to hold on to that? Jesus says the old life, the one that had no meaning or purpose in it, you were first frustrated all the time. Just bury it. Let it go. Let it go. Let it die. I'm giving you a brand new life. And Jesus gave us a symbol for this. And it's called baptism, right? Baptism is a picture. It's saying, I'm burying my old life, the life without meaning and purpose, the life that was stuck, the life that was guilty, the life that was worried. And now I'm living a brand new life. I've been redeemed. Jesus Christ has paid for my freedom, and I'm living a brand new life. That's free. And so listen, if you've never been baptized as a believer, I encourage you to do so. I mean, I will fill that sucker up next week if you come and say, Monty, I want to be baptized. I want to follow and be obedient to Jesus Christ's example of believer's baptism as a mark in my life where I'm going to die to the old self, sin and stuff, and I want to be raised up a new person in Christ with purpose, power, and freedom. Listen, some of you are one decision away from your life turning around. And so how do you get this resurrection-powered life, this resurrection life, this life where you get to experience power and purpose and freedom? There's really only one word. There's really only one person. And that person is Jesus. It's Jesus. The one person that can resurrect dead things in your life. And He doesn't just offer this resurrected life. He says in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. And then He says this, do you believe this? Do you believe it? Has God been trying to get your attention? I think that's why He brought you here this morning, to encounter the resurrection life. A life of power and purpose and freedom. The life you were intended to live from the beginning. There's no death. that His power cannot resurrect. And you say, well, Monty, that sounds good. How do I get it? How do I get this life that is full of energy and that's filled with meaning and that, you know, that is freed by grace? How do I get it? How do I get this purposeful life? Again, you can't earn it. You just have to accept it. It's a gift. It's a gift. You have faith, and you believe, and you receive. You have faith, and you believe, and you receive. And I'll never forget the day I got my new connection with God. You've heard my story. I prayed that little simple prayer along the banks of the Alifi River, my dad and I together. And, you know, we were letting our horses drink some water there in the river. And we just began to talk about it. I said, Dad, I want to walk the aisle. You know, I want to give my hand to the pastor. I want to be saved. And so we began to talk about salvation. And he goes, you know, Monty, you don't have to wait till you walk the aisle. You can do that right here. And so I prayed. Ask God to come in and be my Lord and be my Savior. And you know what happened? Nothing. I mean, I didn't feel any emotion. I didn't feel a quiver in my liver, right? I didn't all of a sudden start saying, well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I didn't do anything goofy. I didn't feel any different. There was no thunder or lightning. No angels came down. My horse didn't rear up on his hind legs and go, yes! Nothing like that happened. But that simple little decision was the turning point in my life. And it changed my life forever. And you might say, well, Monty, yeah, you were only 12 years old. You know, right. Listen, He changed my life forever, starting in that moment. And the longer I walked with God, the more I began to understand that, you know, the benefits of my relationship with Him. But I was His. And His strength began to live through me. He began to give me the power to overcome temptations and struggles. I began to live a life that was free. And as I continued to walk with Him, I began and still discovering the beauty of what this resurrection life is really all about. A life full of energy, filled with meaning and purpose and significance, freed by the grace of God. You see, the resurrection life happens only through a relationship with God, through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's why He came. Instead of feeling exhausted or empty or enslaved, He says, I want you to have power and purpose and freedom. That's what Easter is all about. We call it here at the Rock Journey, and we use the acrostic R-O-C-K. It's R, really getting to know God in a personal way, not just up here, but in here. And then, oh, obtaining that freedom, that forgiveness that comes through a relationship with Him. Being able to die to sin and selfish stuff on a daily basis so that you can live for Christ. And once you get in that type of relationship, you can see, you can begin to catch His plan, His purpose for your life. And it's a life that will be full of meaning and significance. It's about pointing people to Him, not about just you. And then you just keep on growing. Okay, you just keep on growing. Getting to know Him better and better, becoming more and more like His Son. It's something that can start at, you know, at 12 or 5 or whatever age and go forever. It can start where you are right now. If you've never experienced that personal relationship with Him, I encourage you to do that today. So that you can have a real, eternal life. A resurrection-powered life. A better life than you've ever dreamed of. It's the resurrection life that comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The same power that raised him is available to you. And he wants to raise you from the death stuff in your life. So will you step into this resurrected life with him today? Will you do that? Will you say today on Easter 2024, God, I'm going to trust you. And by faith, I'm going to believe. And I'm going to receive your mercy, your grace, your forgiveness. Will you do that? Will you take that step today? And maybe you know him as your personal Lord and Savior, but your life is still not on purpose for him. And so the decision for you is say today, God, I want to step into the purpose, the plan that you have for me. And just make that step of faith and allow him to begin to grow in you this resurrection life that will change you forever. Pray with me, please. Father, there are people here today that I know probably have never begun a relationship with you. They know about you. They believe in you, God. They just haven't ever really known you. And so, Father, I pray that you would give them the courage to open up their heart and their minds and to open up their life to you right now. And if that's you, will you just surrender to him now? Will you just pray something like this in your own heart? Just say, dear God, I want to start living the resurrected life. So as much as I know how, I want to start living for you, not myself. Right now, just say, thank you for loving me. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. And just say, God, I don't understand all that, but so you're going to have to help me out. But right now, right here, I want to open my life to you, Jesus. And the best I know how, just say to him, I want to get to know you. And I invite you to be the manager of my life, the CEO, the boss. Just say, come in, God, be my Lord. Be my Savior. Call the shots from this day forward. Help me to learn to trust you. Just say, God, I want to exchange my life for the resurrected life. And if you prayed that from the depths of your heart, right now, the same power that raised Christ from the dead is raising you to the resurrected life. And right now, you are a child of God. So allow him to help you to understand the benefits, the blessings of living that resurrected life every day from this point forward. And as we continue to pray, all of us who know him in our hearts, that can't come, you come here this Easter morning all excited, all dressed up, and bringing your family. For all of us, Father, will you help us not to get trapped or to feel exhausted or empty? Father, help us to every day reach out and receive your unfolding grace. Just pray, God, would you help us begin to live the resurrected life every day in all of our relationships? Just say, God, help me to live a life that's full of your energy, your power. A life that is filled with meaning and significance. God, that's on purpose for you. I just ask him to help you to experience his freedom. God, we want to trust you. We want to get to know you. And as we spend time in relationship with you and your word and in prayer, will you begin to resurrect the dead things in our life? Even the things that are in the process of dying, God, would you breathe new life into them? And God, as we step into the world, the places that you have called us, God, that there would be something different about us as we live this brand new life, the resurrected life, In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.